Good morning, church. Welcome. It is good to be with all of you. Congratulations, seniors. Elizabeth, Malia, Ashley, Becky, it's so awesome to see you. I love that we get to send you out. We look forward to seeing how you go living sent in the world with Christ. And thank you, Josh, Carly, Woods, our high school directors, and of course, Chelsea Jan, a deaconess who loves the next generation like no other. We thank you all for loving on them this year and helping set that up today. We are in part three of three in this important series exploring God's design for the flourishing of men and women. And over the last couple of weeks, Kyle has unpacked a lot of the why and the how, why we believe what we believe based on Scripture, and how that impacts our practices locally as a church. And there's no way to summarize all that content in this moment, so I only encourage you to go back and listen to it. If you missed it or check it out another time, you can find all of that content online through our app, our website, the YouTube channel, and we do have iTunes podcasts, which amazingly so many people forget or don't even know. Today, we're going to go past the why and the how to look a little more at the what. We're going to get some vision, church. Specifically, what does mutual flourishing of men and women in the kingdom of God look like? And I hope we can dream a little about what God could do through us together as we do this morning. I'm excited about this message. It may be one of the most important messages I've ever given at this church. And the reason I say that is because I believe that our future as a church, if we lean in as men and women together, there's no telling what God can do. It's through our unity that the world may know. And honestly, there's been a ton of spiritual attack around this message. I don't think the enemy likes that we are made in his image, both male and female, and he does not want a church set on fire with his spirit, walking in his power together. And so I'm going to pray before we go any further. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray and I ask that you would pour out your spirit upon us afresh this morning and do something infinitely more than we could ask or imagine as we look at your scriptures. Speak, Lord, for we are listening. Have your way with us today. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. And so to start our journey, we're going to go back to the beginning again, the very beginning, what we have looked at the last few weeks, Genesis 1:27. It says, so God created human beings in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. All masculinity is rooted in the image of God. All femininity is rooted in the image of God. And together we reflect his wisdom, his creativity, his glory. And if we only have half of the image of God, we miss out on who God is. And then he goes on and says that God looked over all he had made and he saw that it was very good. See, men, you are made in the image of God and you are very good. Women, you are made in the image of God and you are very good. We are male and female, created in the image of God, distinct and different, and a denial of our differences is a denial of our own humanity. Men and women are equal in value and dignity before God and are distinct from but dependent upon one another in the mutual calling to display God's image to the world. Our differences aren't something to fear. They are not a threat, but a gift. Our differences aren't something to fear. They're a gift. They're an opportunity that lead us to mutuality, and we were designed not just to exist together, but to be fruitful together, to explore together, to reign together, to flourish together. As the author and speaker Danielle Strickland puts it, we don't just complete each other, we increase each other's capacities. We increase each other's capacities. We become more as we celebrate our differences and we practice mutuality. And I've been praying and thinking on this, reading and asking others for input over the last month, which I thank you for all of you who gave generously stories, anecdotes, little things, looking for examples that I could put in front of us where we could see men and women doing this well. And I encountered lots of cool glimpses, prayers, analogies, movies, but struggled to find something that we can all just sink our teeth into and hold on to. Because so many of those stories and analogies and pictures break down based on who we are. And as I was on a run last week, I was listening to an audiobook when the author said, the world does not have many amazing examples of a strength-based mutual flourishing of men and women being better together. The news is dominated by the opposite. And she said, what if we can't do this? If we can't imagine a world where we can flourish together, we'll put up barriers, shrink back to strategies of the past, and then try to mitigate or minimize potential harm. And hearing that stopped me in my tracks because it punctuated the sadness that I was feeling. Few have seen it done well, honestly. And some organizations or people who were looked to at doing it really well and held up as an example in the last decade have since crumbled and fallen and been shown to be just as broken and upside down as any other organization. But like the journey of every hero in a story, there comes a point at which they stop trying to minimize who they were created to be, and they choose to step into a new way of living that risks the possibility of failure because the possibility of what could be gained is worth it. And we have only begun to scratch the surface of the potential we have of being teamed up together as men and women created in the image of God. And I believe so much of our lack of imagination, our hesitancy to attempt being more teamed up in the church, and our lack of solid examples today is based on fear and contempt. It started in the garden, and it continues to choke the church and undermine our mission to this day. In fact, there is from time to time fear and contempt in all of us that we need to repent of. And it's particularly insidious when it's directed at the opposite sex. It's called misogyny and misandry. It's the hatred of, contempt for, or prejudice against women or girls or against men or boys. And repenting of our misogyny and misandry is a key step toward the mutual flourishing of men and women in the church. There's been far too much of it in the church. We shared this next slide a few weeks ago, and while misogyny and misandry are most obvious in those outer spaces of patriarchy and feminism, which Kyle had shared are just not to be a part of biblical Christianity at all. Even in that, though, they can still work their way into the church and our thinking like gangrene infection that kills the body of Christ. And we need to repent of it. Lord, help us all see where these sins may be in our hearts and minds, and help us repent of them and learn to see our brothers and sisters as gifts given by you to help us increase capacity and bring glory to your kingdom together. Now, church, I have great hope today because in spite of our brokenness and our sin, our propensity for fear and contempt, even towards each other, I have heard and I believe men and women in this church and in our generation want to be teamed up in ministry together. And I'm excited about this because I'm tired of the church being seen as a place where strong women leaders are not welcome or wanted. Nothing could be further from the truth. We need you, sisters. We need each other, church. We need each other in this generation more than ever before. There's too much to work to be done, too many needs not to involve us all at all levels of ministry. And if ever there was a time to shine together, we are in it. The world is dark and needs God's love. And I believe we can flourish together because it's what I see in Scripture. In that same moment where I stopped on the running trail, overcome with sadness about the lack of modern day vision and examples, story after story kept coming to mind from the Scriptures where I saw men and women flourishing together, conquering together, overcoming, leading, and reflecting the goodness and glory of God in brilliant clarity. The way it was all supposed to be. And it was then that I felt like the Lord say, yes, look at my Scriptures. Look at my Scriptures again. So church, we are going to look at just a few of the examples of men and women flourishing together in Scripture. Examples we can hold on to, be challenged by, dream through, and see that we were all in good company because God has been choosing to use broken men and women from the beginning of time to lead his people and further his purposes in the world. So let's look to Abraham and Sarah, who were given the original promise to create a nation that would bless all people. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance, and he went without knowing where he was going. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and was too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. The faith of a couple, a man obeying and a woman believing, that is our heritage. Together, Abraham and Sarah leaned into following God and trusting God despite how insignificant they were in the eyes of the world or how far past their prime they felt. What if we obey and believe in God like this today? What if we obey and believe in God like this today? Or look at Moses, who on his way to Egypt was confronted by God And it says that God was about to kill him.
Some of you are like, serious?
On the way to Egypt, at a place where Moses and his family had stopped for the night, the Lord confronted him and was about to kill him. But Moses' wife Zipporah took a flint knife and circumcised her son. She touched his feet with a foreskin and said, "Now you are a bridegroom of blood to me." When she said a bridegroom of blood, she was referring to the circumcision. After that, the Lord left him alone. You see, Moses was a mighty leader, but hadn't even led his own family well. Kyle shared last week that men are called to guard the way to worship and women are guarding the life of the community. And in this moment, Moses had failed. He wasn't living up to the basic obligation to circumcise his own son in obedience to God. And who steps in to save not only Moses, but the family? Zipporah, his wife. The wisdom and courage on display in Zipporah is powerful. Without Zipporah, we have no Moses and no people. We are broken and imperfect. We need each other to help us live up to all that God calls us to. We don't just complete each other, we increase each other. And our brother Moses was about to run an incredible race in God's kingdom, but he needed his sister Zipporah to even make it to the starting line. How could we as brothers and sisters look out for one another and help each other reach our full potential? Or look at when God fought for his people, the Israelites, and he saved them from the Egyptians. They crossed the Red Sea at night, and at dawn when the sun was rising, he had the entire Egyptian army swept away by the sea. Not a single Egyptian that chased the Israelites into the sea survived. Not one. God wins. And then it says, when the people of Israel saw the mighty power of the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. And what followed was singing and dancing. Moses and his sister Miriam together led God's people in worship and celebration. And this all happened in the morning, which I had never caught before. What a powerful foreshadowing of the resurrection of Jesus and the joy that the brothers and sisters would have as they discovered the good news about how Jesus overcame both sin and death. How can we help each other celebrate God's victories in our lives? Can we tell each other the stories of God's goodness as our brother Moses did? Can we invite passion and joy through the arts to honor God as our sister Miriam did? Or look at Esther. The story that began with an orphaned girl, Esther, being adopted into her older cousin Mordecai's family and raised as his own daughter, ends with this adopted daughter himself. It says, Mordecai the Jew became the prime minister with authority next to that of King Xerxes himself. He was very great among the Jews who held him in the highest esteem because he continued to work for the good of the people and speak up for the welfare of all their descendants. What if we had compassion, the compassion of our brother Mordecai, to take on orphans and relatives in need? What could a child grow up to do when they experience God's love and grace through us? What does God want to do in a world today through men and women who grieve over injustices and evil in the world? Could our voices and actions bring about change like Mordecai's and Esther? Could God be raising us up for such a time as this? Or look at Mary and Joseph. Having heard from the angels separately, they chose to remain together. An out-of-wedlock pregnancy initiated by God himself, enduring the shame and stigma as a couple for the sake of all humanity. In obedience to the Heavenly Father, Mary accepted the role of carrying his child and mothering him on earth. In belief, Joseph took Mary as his wife, believing the child to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and the one who would save God's people from their sin. And Luke 2:5 says, he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who is now obviously pregnant, and together they welcomed the King of Kings into the world and parented him from birth to adulthood. Talk about impossible. There's no class for that. There's no book for that. And yet the scriptures say that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and with favor with God and with man. They crushed it because God helped them. They just leaned in together. How might God want us to endure cultural shame for the sake of his son, as our brother and sister Joseph and Mary did? What gifts might God be inviting us to steward and care for together for the sake of all humanity? It is not a popular thing to follow Jesus today. There can be felt shame. And beyond this, throughout all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see men and women, disciples, follow Jesus, learn from Jesus, care for and support Jesus, and be sent out by Jesus to share good news. Jesus brought men and women together as a part of his plan. And you have to remember, God has been choosing to use broken men and women from the beginning of time to lead his people and further his purpose in this world. And what do we see after his death and resurrection? We see brothers and sisters discovering together the unbelievable good news that Jesus had risen from the dead. The women were the first to the tomb and were given the honor of carrying the good news first. And who did they run to? They ran to their brothers and sisters. Oh, that we would love to go to our brothers and sisters and share what we are learning and experiencing in Christ with joy. And then it says, but the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. How much wisdom, how much joy, how much insight have we lost over the centuries because our sisters have not been believed or listened to? There's room to repent when we find we are not listening to our sisters or our brothers. But Peter listened. And it says, he jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. And then he went home again, wondering what had happened. You see, Peter was on E. I believe he was empty. Still in the pain and grieving of having denied Jesus three times. The one he had spent 3 years following. And after 3 days, he had to see the tomb that he heard was empty. His emptiness drove him to it. And I believe our emptiness longs for the tomb to be empty. We long for it to be true, even if we don't understand it, because the possibility of Jesus having died for our sins and defeating the grave is unparalleled hope. It's the greatest news the world has ever heard. What would it look like if we trusted and believed our brothers and sisters, their experience, their story, their realities? What if we listened to each other more? And Jesus did indeed rise, and in the days and weeks that followed, Jesus revealed himself to his followers at various times. Men and women were discovering together the impact of what Jesus had done, and at the end of the Gospel of Luke, we see the whole group together, all the men and women. It says in Luke, verse 49, Jesus then spoke and said, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. And this was in reference to a prophecy from Joel hundreds of years before. It says, then, after doing all these things, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit, even on servants, men and women alike. And this is what we see. In the very next book, the sequel to Luke is the book of Acts. And they're all gathered together. After Jesus ascended to heaven, it says they met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. During this time, when about 120 believers, men and women, are together in one place, Peter stands up and they replace Judas, who killed himself after betraying God, and they continue to meet together. And it says, on the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after the Passover, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. The fire is the presence of God. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Men and women praying together, meeting together, waiting for what God is about to do next. They were eager to walk into the new realities of the kingdom together. And the Holy Spirit came and filled everyone present, and he gave them gifts of the Holy Spirit and moved in such a way that it got the attention of the entire town. And the end result was that 3,000 people came to Christ that day. And how did that happen? Sure, Peter stood up and he gave a message. But Peter had a platform and an audience because God moved through the Holy Spirit, through men and women in that city. And scholars say that in order to baptize 3,000 people in one day, that all 120 had to be baptizing. That means brothers and sisters were ministering and baptizing together on the day the Spirit poured out. At the very start of the church, men and women were flourishing together. And the rest of the New Testament is filled with men and women working together. You see, Jesus, in his resurrection, is inviting people into a new community and family. He poured out spiritual gifts to all of us, men and women, and we together are the church. No weapon formed against us can stand. The gates of hell cannot prevail. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We have hope that Jesus himself has overcome the world and he has put his Spirit in us, empowering us and giving us a hope for the life to come. Jesus died for the church. He loves the church. He gave himself up for us so that we can live together, be empowered together, and so the world might know who Jesus is, because we together reflect his glory. It's through our unity that the world will know he sent us. And we are called the church. Men and women made in the image of God, filled with his Spirit. And he's choosing to work through us. He's choosing to win through us. And we know how it ends. In the new heaven and the new earth, after he's defeated everyone, it says, no longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him. His servants, all of us, men and women, together, in the presence of God, just as it was in the garden. And the curse in the garden was reversed in Jesus, and it has no place when the kingdom comes. It's amazing. What a day that will be, church. And this is where we were at. And you know what's crazy about today? Today is Pentecost. It's 50 days after the Passover. Historically, celebration of the start of the church is today. And I believe for us in this church locally, it's a moment pregnant with possibility, just as it was in the early church. I believe God is on the verge of doing something new in our midst. Something has come, and he's been pursuing and refining us as a church. He's been whispering things to Kyle Chase, myself, the elder minister team, people on staff. He's been working on our trellis in preparation for vines to grow. We have no idea what God wants to do in us as a church, but I can assure you we want to lean into this together as brothers and sisters in Christ, living in light of what Christ did for us through the power of the Holy Spirit together and unto the glory of the Father and the future that we know is secure. May we today, like the early church, choose to step into a new way of living that risks the possibility of failure because the possibility of what could be is worth it. And I want you as a church to know from the EMT that we are committed to men and women working together in this church, leading together, flourishing together. We desire this to be a safe place where all women and men can bring their gifts, their talents, and their voice to the table and to leadership. We want men and women at the table at all levels of our leadership, helping us in conversation and decision-making and leading. And from time to time, we will have non-elder men and women speak and teach on Sunday morning for the benefit of all of us. We believe this is good and healthy and vibrant and allows us to flourish as a church. And church, we are not without direction or vision locally as a church. And I can't leave today without even just connecting the dots for all of us. Because we've said that what we're about as a church is we seek to be a vibrant, reproducing church that lives out the greatest commandment in the Great Commission. You can't miss that first word, we. It was put there intentionally by all of us. As men and women together, that is not we, the staff, or we, the elder minister team, it's we, the church. Men and women together, we seek to be vibrant and reproducing, living out the greatest commandment in the Great Commission. And if you look at who we are, our values, I just pulled out my phone. You can do that right now. You can get on your app. We have what we're about in there. You can get on the website. Our values, every single one, it says the word our. It's our values. Men and women together creating the image of God as this local church. Jesus is our message. Scripture is our foundation. Prayer is our posture. The character of Christ is our aim. Authentic relationships are our way of life. The next generation is our future. Generosity is our joy. Justice is our charge. And church planting is our passion. This is our vision together. We're collectively in this as men and women. And then it moves to our vision. We have a great vision. You know why we have a great vision? Because we dreamt of this together. 5 years ago, we had dream sessions as a whole church. This wasn't a few people go away and come back and say this is what it is. We flipped the whole thing upside down. We dreamt as a church for weeks and prayed for months, and it whittled down to this is what we felt collectively the Lord was having us dream and believe him for. We are a multi-generational church with a heart for the next generation. Everything we do is about seeing Christ alive in us and Christ alive in others. Jesus said, I came that they, all men and women, may have life and have it abundantly. We dream of the abundant life breaking out in the hearts of those who call the University of Michigan and the Ann Arbor area home. We dream of men and women in every generation being caught up in this redemptive adventure and living sent as disciples who make disciples, imparting to each one a lifestyle of worship, community, and mission. And this led to four huge dreams that we have. And it's through a lifestyle of worship that we dream of showing people Jesus. Do you know what showing people Jesus is? It's about helping people believe and obey who he is. That's our sister and brother, Abraham and Sarah. Do you see it? Through a lifestyle community, we dream of living equipping for life. This is reaching our full potential as Moses and Zipporah did. It's about celebrating our victories and our gifts as Moses and his sister Miriam did. Through a lifestyle of mission, we dream of loving as Jesus loved. This is justice in the world as Esther and Mordecai saw happen. And we dream, with a commission to go, we dream of living sent. And I'll tell you, no one lived more sent than Joseph and Mary and the early church of men and women created in the image of God, flourishing together with the Spirit empowering them. See, church, we are a people with the greatest news the world has ever heard, with the power of the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, and with the love of the Father that knows no bounds. Our dream is that the whole world would be caught up in the redemptive adventure of following Jesus. And church, may we stand upon the brothers and sisters who flourished before us, and may we have the courage to grow in our togetherness as a church. Our future is bright, and we are going there together for the glory of God. Yeah, you can clap for that. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for your brilliance and how you made us. You created us to reflect your image. Men and women, built for community, built for relationship. Lord, would you help us repent of the things that get between us? And would you teach us to lean in to how you've created us and made us? And may we together reflect your glory and fulfill what you want in this world. We thank you that you are with us and for us, and that you lead us as your church. In your name, Jesus, amen.